Welcome to the Shepherd Leadership Podcast, where we hope to encourage and equip leaders to help those entrusted to them thrive and to be a leader others follow for life. My name is Nick Westbrook, and I've had people entrusted to my care professionally for over 20 years in careers from ministry, coaching football, and business development to now owning and leading a Chick-fil-A franchise with over 140 team members. Leading my business at Chick-fil-A is the most challenging, difficult, and rewarding thing I've ever done. The challenges can feel overwhelming, but the call to lead and being given the responsibility to steward so many people's lives and experiences is an honor that I'm proud to shoulder. I've had more leadership failures than success, but from my greatest leadership failures, I've learned the true art of fulfilling my calling to lead. Thank you for joining our conversation where we will unpack the calling of leading as a shepherd and talk with other shepherd leaders about the impact they're making in their organizations. We post a new 30-minute episode on the first Friday of every month and sprinkle in some bonus content along the way. We hope to make this time valuable for you and to encourage you. This is the Shepherd Leadership Podcast. We will not be judged by the nobility of our intentions. We will, in the end, be judged by our actions. I was called out recently by one of my leaders on my senior leadership team. I began the year with a plan for us to all read these books together as a leadership team to create alignment and cohesiveness and enthusiasm and creativity and excitement for our business. I only read a few new books a year. I have a list of about 6 to 8 books that I reread every year. And this year, I plan to take my senior leadership team through those books because several of my senior leaders are new to this role on our team, and it was a great way for us to recalibrate our leadership language as a team. Well, we made it for about 2 books, and then we fell off our cadence. Some things came up in the business that had me distracted from my plan. Those new and shiny things got all my attention and energy, and I didn't follow through on my intentions to read all of these books together. To be honest, I really didn't have much of a plan at all. I knew what order I read the books in traditionally, but I didn't have much of a plan for how we would read them together. What our cadence would be and how often we would talk about the content or how we would implement what we learned in the books. Without a good plan that we were all committed to, my attention was easily swayed from what was a great intention to begin with to what was the most interesting thing for me at the time and really what seemed most urgent. So in a recent meeting, that leader said, "Hey, whatever happened to that book that we were supposed to be reading? Are we still doing that? I'm just checking to see if I was still on track." And I had to really come forward and say, "Hey guys, my bad. I let us fall off cadence from doing that. And I didn't follow through as a leader. I didn't have much of a plan. And that's really my fault." Doesn't that happen to us so often as leaders? Isn't it so easy to get distracted from what we plan to do by what needs our attention the most at the moment or what looks more exciting to chase? Isn't it so much easier to step away from something we haven't put that much planning and work into? The truth is, at the end of our leadership journey, we will not be judged by our intentions on what we intended to do as a leader. No one has ever stood up to give a toast at a retirement party and began with, Jim was such a fantastic leader. He intended to create a development program for his leaders to continue to grow in their leadership journey. He never actually got around to it, but he had such a great plan for it. He once even shared the plan with me. It was such a great plan. It would have been incredible to have that implemented on our team. We are so grateful Jim thought of such a great plan. And today, we honor your dreams, Jim. Thank you for always thinking of ways to improve our team, even if you never really get around to them. That is not how a retirement speech is supposed to go. We know that we are only judged by our actions, what we actually get done. The real hard truth is that we typically judge ourselves by our intentions, and we judge others by their actions. It's rarely the other way around. You know, my wife has never said to me, "Honey, thank you for all of the years that you intended to send me flowers on our anniversary. That was so sweet." Of course not. Why? Because we aren't measured by our intentions. We're measured by our actions. Intentions don't create impact. Action does. Intentions don't shepherd those entrusted to us. Action does. We can intend to get to know our people. We can intend to guide our team. We can intend to protect our children. We can intend to provide for those entrusted to us, or we can act on those things. Now, today's podcast is not going to be some railing session on how we don't follow through on all of our good intentions. You would check out, and I would too. You and I don't need a reminder of all the things that we intended to do that we were going to be so great at, but we failed to follow through on getting them done and how we failed to take action. Today, we are going to talk about how you and I as shepherd leaders can transform our leadership by turning noble intentions into impactful action. By turning our noble intentions and great ideas into impactful action. I realized several years ago my terrible flaw of being a leader that doesn't follow through. It was embarrassing and demoralizing, and I had to put a stop to it, but I really didn't know how. I wanted to exercise. I wanted to eat healthy. I wanted to read my Bible daily and pray and journal and have coffee with my wife and take my daughters out on special dates and have mentorship meetings and evaluate my business and take my team on trips to learn from other leaders and go on vacation with my family and handwrite thank you notes and serve at church and be involved in the community and serve on nonprofit boards and. But none of it was getting done. And the things I was doing, I was not doing well because so much of it was being done at the last minute as an afterthought, racing to get things finished. So I was listening to the Entree Leadership podcast several years ago, and the host, Ken Coleman, was interviewing Michael Hyatt. Now, I had never heard of Michael Hyatt at that point, and this podcast was one that I listened to often and was on a rhythm of listening to the next episode every Monday when it came out. Michael Hyatt had just happened to be the next guest on this particular Monday. Well, I heard Michael Hyatt say something in that podcast that really changed my life as a leader. It was a very simple phrase. I have used this phrase, I bet, 1,000 times since coaching other leaders since then. It's a phrase I now live by and has become characteristic of my own leadership. This phrase has helped me shepherd my team so that they and our organization can thrive and not be hindered by my weaknesses any longer. This is what Michael Hyatt said in that podcast. What gets scheduled gets done. What gets scheduled gets done. Do you know what I was doing with all of my intentions? I was writing them down on to-do lists and hoping that I got to all of them. The things I wouldn't get to, I would carry over to the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day, and then the next week, and then the next month. We would say something like, oh, we should have more meetings. And we would set a meeting for a couple of days in the future and then wouldn't have any follow-up on what we discussed and then wouldn't have a follow-up meeting and really wouldn't come back around to it. And that meeting and the time that we spent there would just drift off into some space land of ideas that never got followed through on. After that podcast, I began learning more about Michael Hyatt and beginning to listen to his podcast. I realized that it wasn't my intentions that were my problem. It was my lack of action on my intentions that were my problem as a leader. I realized that my lack of action was due to my lack of planning. I wasn't getting things done because I was trying to wing it as a leader. I was working harder than I ever worked at every aspect of my life, my leadership, but I wasn't getting much accomplished and I was spinning my wheels. My team suffered and lacked because of my lack of action and follow through. In many cases, my relationship with my wife suffered because of my lack of action and follow through. Have you ever seen the talk where someone has all of these different materials, large rocks, small rocks, gravel, sand, water, they're all separated. And then they have this jar by itself, empty jar. And then he begins by putting in the sand first, and then the small rocks and the gravel, and then the water. And the jar is completely full, and the big rocks are sitting outside of the jar. They haven't been put in the jar yet. And he asked, how in the world can you fit all of this into this jar? Well, he starts over with a new jar. And this time he starts with the large rocks first. He puts the large rocks into the jar first, and then the smaller rocks, and then the gravel, and then the sand, and then the water. And somehow, magically, everything fits. And then he explains that the big rocks represent the most important things in our life. And that's where we have to start. We have to start with those before we try to fit everything else in. And that if we don't start with the big rocks, then we'll never find space to get them in later when it really matters. You know, I've heard it said before that neglect, whatever we neglect, will end up causing us the most pain in our life. If we neglect our fitness, if we neglect our finances, if we neglect our relationships, if we neglect certain parts of our business, our customer experience, product innovation, whatever we neglect, we will end up experiencing the most pain in that area in our life. So the first thing I had to decide is, what are the big rocks in my life? I had to define what those big rocks were in my life. So I decided that my big rocks were divided into a few different categories. First, family. These big rocks, consistent time with Brooke, my wife, family vacations and trips, my daughter's games and performances, I wasn't going to miss those, church attendance together as a family, a marriage retreat every single year at the Windshape Marriage Retreat Center. The category of business, like regular leadership meetings, was a big rock for us. Chick-fil-A is a busy place. It's difficult to find time to get away to talk about the business and think about the business as opposed to working in the business. So, like, regular leadership meetings was a big rock. One-on-one meetings with my direct reports was a big rock. Making sure that I spent one-on-one time with those leaders consistently. Excellence trips to go visit other high-performing teams. Team gatherings with our entire team. Leadership development courses where we would teach and develop our leaders how to be great shepherd leaders in our business and help other people thrive. From a personal perspective, exercise was a big rock for me. Time to think and be creative, to pause and really think and get creative ideas. Golf was a big rock for me. You know, golf is the only pastime, the only leisure thing that I have found that I can do where my mind just really calms down and I don't think of anything else. Another big rock was alone time to focus just on business analytics, to really get quiet and to study. Time to evaluate my business and my team. Time to read my Bible, books, different journals. Going to Bible study weekly with a group of my peers, and then peer accountability groups and trips. Like, those things were really important and big rocks that I wanted to fit in. So I went to my calendar and I began to put these things in my calendar in a rhythm that made sense for me and my family and my business. The Google Calendar has become my greatest digital asset in my life. I went in and blocked out these days that I knew I had to prioritize. I went to my daughter's school calendar and I blocked out all of their school breaks. I created a meeting schedule for myself and my leaders and found that I could put that on a reoccurring cycle so that they showed up automatically on my calendar. So we would have a leadership meeting every 2 weeks on the same day, at the same time of day, in the same location. I scheduled one-on-one meetings with my leaders the same way, whether we met every other week or once a month or once a quarter. For my team, I went ahead and scheduled quarterly leadership development meetings and scheduled our big team gatherings. In the summer, we do a family fun day at the park. And in the winter, we have a huge, extravagant Christmas party that our entire team really looks forward to. I went ahead and put those dates on the calendar. And as I got better at scheduling the things that were important to me, I found myself scheduling so many other things to ensure that they were done well. I even started scheduling my haircuts in my Google Calendar. Now, I get my haircut at Great Clips. Great Clips doesn't allow you to schedule haircuts, but I put it on my calendar to remind myself that it's time to get a haircut and that I can plan for that week. That brings up another great point. You have to review your calendar often. You have to look ahead at what's coming and create a plan for how you will turn these intentions into actions. When they're on the calendar, they're still intentions. You have to turn them into actions for them to actually create impact. Well, this is where Michael Hyatt and his company, Full Focus, really became a lifesaver. The tagline for Full Focus is "Win at work and succeed at life." Well, man, that's what I was looking for. I had my team to shepherd, my wife to shepherd, my daughters to shepherd. I was involved in groups and boards in the community that required my time and attention. I felt like I was losing at every one of them, or at least doing them all at a very mediocre level. I purchased his Full Focus Planner. It's an analog daily planner that you actually write in. I know it sounds like it's out of the 1950s, but hear me out. I still use my precious Google Calendar, but I also use this Full Focus Planner for the day-to-day things that really help me stay on track of prioritizing my big rocks and keeping me disciplined to do what I say I'm going to do. Something about writing it down makes it more concrete. The digital world is great. It's efficient and it's easy to replicate, which my Enneagram 3 brain loves. But it isn't always as effective because it doesn't transfer to memory or transfer to our consciousness. As my high school English teacher, Miss Wingfield, reminded me every single day, if you want to remember something, you better write it down. Now, I want to tell you that I'm not getting paid by Michael Hyatt or Full Focus to say this about his company or his planner. I have never and will never do any paid advertisements on my podcast. Michael Hyatt doesn't even know that I exist on this planet. I have used this product and I believe in his company. Michael is a believer and a shepherd leader and created a system to help himself shepherd those entrusted to him better. It worked for him, and it has definitely worked for me and some of my leaders. And I want to share it with all of my audience as well. So you can turn your noble intentions into impactful action. I have found that I need about an hour on Sunday to review my calendar for the week. I make sure I'm clear about all my intentions for the week, and then I create a plan for making those things happen. I look over my Google Calendar and transfer the details and major things into my Full Focus Planner. In my morning routine, I have a few minutes that I look at my calendar to make sure that I'm not missing anything for that day, and I basically memorize what I have to do for the rest of the day. The Full Focus Planner helps me set 3 priorities for the day that must be done. I have already given myself cutoff times and blocked out my day for what's most important. At the end of the day and the week, I can look back and see how well I executed on the plans that I made. Some weeks are better than others. I'm still not the best at this, but I have a strategy I get to improve over time. The most important things that I am meeting with my team, I get to spend time with my wife, I make all of my kids' events, and I'm staying ahead and thinking about my business and our future. That's my job. If we're going to shepherd those entrusted to us well, we cannot be so distracted from where we're headed and be swayed by every shiny new thing that comes around and looks more interesting or easier. If we're going to work to know, guide, protect, and provide for those entrusted to us, we cannot wing it. None of us are that good. We will miss an area that is important, and our teams, our families, and our organizations will suffer. They will not thrive if we don't submit ourselves to this discipline of putting the big rocks in first. All right, now write this down. Good rhythms can redeem good intentions. Good rhythms can redeem good intentions. Team, find good rhythms that work for you and fit the big rocks in first. These rhythms can give those entrusted to you confidence that you will follow through on what you said you want to do. These rhythms will also give you an easy no when asked to do things that fall under that good category, but it's not what you need to be doing. You may have heard it said before that every yes is like saying no to something else. By establishing these rhythms, you are already saying yes to the most important things you established beforehand, those big rocks. I block out Mondays and Tuesdays for team meetings and individual one-on-one meetings. Wednesdays are for development meetings and creative thinking. Thursdays are for community meetings and meetings with people outside of my organization. And I try not to schedule anything recurring on Fridays, so I have some margin for spontaneity. With this season that my daughters are in currently, Brooke and I find it difficult to have like a date night. So we often set aside a couple of Wednesday mornings a month for coffee dates. When those are on the schedule and someone wants to schedule a Wednesday morning meeting, it's an easy no because I already have a big rock scheduled during that time. They will have to choose a Thursday that works maybe in the future. If it's soon, great. If it has to be pushed back, that's okay too. And I had to be okay knowing that someone else's emergency or lack of planning or urgent need does not create an emergency for me. Because every yes of mine is a no to something else. Now, everything is not always going to work according to your plan. That's no need to abandon ship. Just adjust. There are several times that there is a circumstance that arises that creates a need for a change in the rhythm. You know, you can make small adjustments easier than trying to do big things on the fly. For instance, we have a college visit set up for my oldest daughter on an upcoming Monday. I schedule a lot of my rhythm meetings with my leaders on Mondays and rarely travel on Mondays. Well, I cannot meet with them on this particular Monday because we have this trip, but I have already sent them options for rescheduling that meeting, communicating that the meeting is important to me and I want to get it in, but our regularly scheduled time won't work. And it's easy to find a time a little later that works, and we know that we have another one coming up in a couple of weeks anyway. My last bit of advice is to be transparent as possible with those that are most important to you. My wife, my daughters, my assistant, my senior leadership team, and several of my directors have full access to my personal calendar, my Google Calendar. They know where I am and what I'm doing most anytime. Now, this serves as great accountability for me, but also lets them know when they can schedule some time with me if they need to. They know the days that I will be in the restaurant and what days I'm traveling or unavailable. My wife can know at any time where I am and what I'm doing on any given day, week, or month. We can plan ahead together and she doesn't have to feel like an afterthought, like she has so many times before because I intended to do something but never acted on it. Shepherd leaders, I want you to feel like you can win at shepherding those entrusted to you. If you're like me, it is so easy to feel defeated when you begin dropping the ball on so many things you know you need to be doing. We are beginning the last quarter of the year. It's the beginning of October. The last quarter of 2023. Man, I love the last quarter of the year. If you remember a football game, if you watch a football game, I'm a big Georgia Bulldogs fan. And like most college football teams, when you go into the fourth quarter, the band starts playing. Everybody in the stadium puts four fingers up. Everybody knows this is the fourth quarter. This is when we have to push to win. Well, we're in the fourth quarter. Let's turn our noble intentions into impactful actions. Let's look at the four principles that shepherd leaders can use when turning our noble intentions into impactful actions. The four things we talked about today. Number one, start with the big rocks first. Establish what is most important for you to get done. Second, what gets scheduled gets done. Write it down on your calendar. Number three, good rhythms can redeem good intentions. Create rhythms for those things that require your action on a reoccurring basis. And number four, share it with everyone that's important to you. I hope you have found some value in our time together. If you find this content valuable, please leave a review. I would highly value your feedback, and please share it with a friend who you think might find value in it as well. Team, thank you for investing time in your leadership today. Until next month, shepherd well, my friends.